I just thought we'd start the message today because we're talking about life in the Spirit. And as I was worshiping there, I just felt God say, why don't you, I don't know we're going to teach everybody, but why don't we teach some people how to receive from God a little bit? And so we're going to do that right now. Just going to learn to receive from God. Because, you know, the worship, like your prayer time and your time of devotional, should never be just something that you go through, something that you do, some obligation. Should always be a time of open heart and receiving from God. It should always be. Should never be a day go by where you're not open heart receiving from God. So while they just pray, play quietly in the background there. You know, the scripture says often when the prophets wanted to prophesy, when David wanted to speak, they'd ask for a harpist. And they'd get the harpist and they'd play away, musician play. They just open their heart to God. And I think it's something we need to learn to do more and more, is just to learn to open our hearts to God. So I want you, if you'd been standing, you'd been standing. But I want you to just sit there, relax, open your heart, maybe let your hands just open up. Some of you might want to kneel down on the ground and just open your heart to God just right now. And begin to, those who are released in that heavenly prayer language, just begin to pray quietly in the Spirit. You don't need to bellow at the person in front of you, but just pray quietly in the Spirit and just open your heart. And I'm going to pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, I just thank you for your presence here with us right now. Your word says where two or three are gathered in your name, that you are right there in the midst of us. So we know that you're here right now. And all we need to do is tune into your presence and let you speak into our hearts. And I pray right now that you begin to speak, just right around the room right now, that you begin to speak into our hearts. Just bring confidence into our hearts that you're in control. You know what you're doing. You know what you're doing. Thank you, Lord Jesus. What you've begun to do, you'll bring through to completion. Just begin to speak right across our hearts and our lives. Just be at peace and know that I've got it. I've got it under control. I've got it. Just let God speak into your heart right now. Healing is available for us. His strength is made perfect in our weakness. Receive it into your heart right now. God speak. I'm just speaking out words that God's speaking to people. Right, I could call you out, but I don't feel like it. But as I'm praying, God is speaking to you. It's really simple. It's really simple. Rise up. Step into the calling that you've got. Let God bring it to completion. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Just open your heart and receive from God. Faith is at one time both a great mystery and a really simple step. And today, you need to take a step of faith and put your heart in the hands of God. You've seen it. You've observed it. It's time to step up and step into all that God's got for you. Don't sit back and wait. Just let Him do it. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Speak, Holy Spirit. We give time to you. Just speak. Speak into our hearts. Speak into our lives. Let our confidence be found in you. We bless you, Lord. All these guys, speak into our hearts, Lord. Challenge us. Put your finger on those things that we need to make changes so that we are genuinely serving you and honoring you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, I pray for those half a dozen that you spoke specifically about there. And I pray, Father, that you would bring to completion the work that you want to do in each of our hearts and lives, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Real simple, isn't it? Real simple. Thanks, guys. I think we should just have a drummer to hear the voice of God. That's what I think. Don't you think? What? What? See, there's an open vessel right there. You see, God? I just saying that all we need is a drummer to hear the voice of God. Isn't that right?
End of practice.
That's great. All right. I was thinking this morning about all the teams that we have that make our gathering work. You know that there's the church gathered and then there's the church dispersed. And our church gathers on a Sunday morning, but we also gather in other small communities of faith that we have around the city and different age groups and different stages of life and so on. And we gather together, and there are groups of people who make those gatherings work. And I was thinking about this gathering that we have on a Sunday morning. And obviously we have this worship team that make this gathering work. But we know they're not the only ones. And we have a production team that make this, you know, get the words up on there and all the things flowing and all the stuff happening. We have that. We have a setup and a welcome team that get involved with all setting everything up and welcoming people into our gathering. And they make the gathering. We've got our kids team, both upstairs, downstairs. They all make the gathering work. I don't know what other teams. Maybe there's other teams I'm not thinking of right now. But there are just teams of people who make the gathering work. What did I forget? Did I forget something? We have a very good coffee team that some people are very grateful for. And I resisted the chocolate Easter eggs that were back there today. I'm very, very proud of myself for doing that. I didn't resist the chocolate that came to our house yesterday, which I should have. But anyway, not to worry. I'm doing okay. It's a low sugar month for me. I've got to get rid of some of that. So it's a low sugar month. I'm not saying no sugar because a bit of sugar gets through. But low sugar month. I think about all those teams that make our gather. You know, we got our pastoral team, you know, that plan out what we do. That's a team that makes it. And I was just thinking, you know, later on in the year, we're going to, in a couple of, about a month or so, we're going to do a series on loving each other. And a part of that series is going to be serving. How, you know, because you don't know, the scripture tells us you can love in word and in tongue or in deed and truth. And one of the questions we're going to be asking is, how does your life demonstrate that by what you do, that we love each other? And that's going to be a whole range of things. But one of those is the gathering together. And I just felt God say to me, encourage people today to think about, how can I serve the gathering? How can I serve the gathering? Really simple. How can I serve the gathering? We've got completely unskilled activities that you can do to serve the gathering. They're not quite completely unskilled, but almost. And then we've got highly skilled activities that you can do to serve this gathering. And I just want to encourage you today, just ask God, what can I do to serve the gathering? Is that pretty simple? That's pretty simple, isn't it? What can I do to serve the gathering? I don't just want to be a consumer and a bludger, just bludgeon off everybody else. I want to be a contributor. So what can I do to serve the gathering? And I would encourage you to ask the same question about the community, small community gathering. What can I do to serve the gathering? Just ask that question. Let God show you what you ought to do. Come and see us. So those were the couple of things that God spoke to me in the worship. If there was too many more, we'd have no message today. There was only one other. And I felt the other thing I wanted to do today, so far, Faith Promises. We're all the month of March, we're doing Faith Promise, just promoting that. So we've got 2 weeks to go, I think, to do our Faith Promises. First Sunday in April, of course, will be our first Faith Promise for this round of Faith Promises. I want to tell you, we're up to $1,800 a month already. And I know that there's a bunch of Faith Promises, because I see how many there are, and I know there's heaps more to come. So we're up to $1,800, which is fantastic. Our goal is $3,000 a month, which helps us to support Andrew Mayer and Matt and Sarah and Tony and Annette and Paul and Deb Hilton and do all the projects, and it actually sends me to go and visit those places and encourage our guys and work with them. So our Faith Promises do all of that, and our aim is $3,000 a month. We're more than halfway there, which I think is great. I don't know if one person thinks it's awesome, and a few others go, oh, yeah, whatever. I actually think it's fantastic, and so we're going really well. So I encourage you today, next week, the week after, you be praying and asking God, what do I do with Faith Promise? And then just get stuck in and do it. Turn to your Bible. We're going to get to the word now. And not to the word now, but we're going to get to the word now. So last week we were talking about how there is nothing natural about the Christian life. Now, of course, there are natural things. You get up, you eat breakfast, you dress yourself, hopefully you clean your teeth. There are natural things that we do. But when it comes to faith life, when it comes to the Christian life, everything is basically supernatural. From the beginning of knowing God, which is a faith step, the scripture tells us that even that is not of ourselves, it is a gift of God. Those who know the scriptures, that even our faith is a gift from God to us that enables us to know Him. Phenomenal. There's nothing natural. And we went through the day of Pentecost and the sound of a rushing wind and the tongues as of fire and prayer languages and languages of men and of angels. And there's just nothing natural going on there, just all supernatural. And we looked at the life of Jesus and how He functioned in the power of the Spirit, how He gave up His independent exercise of His godly and divine right. That's a long sentence, but it's theologically correct. He gave that up so that He could operate like one of us under the power and the direction of the Holy Spirit, hearing the voice of the Father and following and being obedient to what He was told to do. And He lived just like us, which is why He could say, one day you'll do greater things than Me. Because you can do the same thing. You can live the same way under the power and anointing of the Holy Spirit. So every time we're doing, and we regularly do these little mini-series on life in the Spirit, and the reason is that in our Pentecostal, so-called Pentecostal modern churches, we can lose the fact that everything we do is under the inspiration and anointing of the Holy Spirit, because we get really clever in doing what we can do. And so our setup team sets it up all nice with a lovely, I love the wraparound. I'm looking for it. If it all turns out that we do buy this building, I've already set this building up with a fantastic wraparound, real community feel. And I'm looking forward to that so much that I'm almost just sick of this, you know. Because I'm really looking forward to the next step for us and what it looks like. We can do all of that, be really clever. The guys are really clever with what we've got in this warehouse with lighting and setup and all. And let me tell you that in, you know, the next iteration of this, it's going to be awesome. I mean, they're already, these guys are trying to convince me about LED lighting on the ceiling that, you know, flashes and does disco and things all happen. And I said to them, I said, you've got to show me some images of this because I'm having trouble. And the first image they showed me was a tunnel with all this LED lighting, and it was just going nutso. I mean, like it was like, you know, epilepsy center as you walked in. I mean, it was just unbelievable. I said, well, you probably better show me a different picture of that. And then, of course, they found a Hillsong picture. Anything Hillsong has got to be right. So they found a Hillsong picture, and actually it was really good. And it was sort of fanning out from the stage, and it was subdued lighting and loud. And so these guys are going nutso on all that. And we've got some really capable people doing that kind of stuff. And so we can be really clever about all of that kind of gear and do all that. But, you know, what we've got to remember is that everything we do is totally dependent on the Holy Spirit. There's not one person who's here today without the work of the Holy Spirit. That's the truth. Not one of us is here today without the work of the Holy Spirit. I told you how, as a 13-year-old boy, I encountered God for the first time in a very real way. Had no idea what was going on, but God's Spirit came into my life and changed me. I didn't tell you how, as a 17-year-old, I was then filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave utterance. I didn't tell you about that last week, although I've told you before. And how God opened up the realm and the work of His Spirit in my life as a 17-year-old young man. And from that day to this, I don't think there's probably a day gone by where I haven't been praying and speaking in the Spirit. I feel like, I'm going to read it for you a bit later, I feel like what Paul said, I pray in tongues more than you all. And he said, I would you all would pray in tongues. And I pray in tongues more than you all. Then he went on to say, I'd rather speak 5 words in English in the church, in understood language in the church, than all of that. But he said, I do that. And that's been my experience of the presence of God, is opening up the gifts and the realm of the Holy Spirit. And so this series and always these series, as we keep doing them through the life of our church, is always about saying to us, never forget, everything that happens in the kingdom of God does so because of the anointing and the working of the Holy Spirit. Don't ever think you can get away with some sort of natural understanding. It's never going to work. Every person that gives their life to God and discovers His grace does so because of the work of the Holy Spirit. Every person. That person you're praying for right now, in your family, in your workplace, that person who seems maybe on the surface resistant to the things of God, that person, if they are going to find God, they're going to do so because the Holy Spirit breaks into their heart and opens up the realm of faith in their life, and they won't come to know God in any other way. Doesn't matter how smart you are, how convincing you are, if you can convince them to become a so-called Christian, my thinking is probably they're not a Christian, they're just following what you think, and that can just break down so quick. But every person who genuinely comes to faith does so because of the work of the Holy Spirit. Let me read you some scriptures because I'm just waffling. So we're talking today about don't be a natural only Christian, but rather be a Spirit-empowered Christian. And I want to talk today particularly about Spirit-empowered prayer. God's been challenging me so strongly about prayer, about the need for us to engage in prayer of all kinds, but two particular kinds of prayer that I want to talk to you about today. And the first one is to pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Let me take you to Acts chapter 19. Verse 1 to 7. I'm not going to do a big thing on baptism in the Spirit today, but I just want to give you an example from the first churches, and this is how it ought to be, basically. Acts 19, there's like four or five of these stories. You just take your pick. They're all pretty much the same. And it happened that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul passed through the inland country and came to... Thank you. Came to... Yeah, that's about... 10 people. All right, came to Ephesus. There he found some disciples and he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" I find that a fascinating question. If Paul came into your house today or your small group, would he look around after a while and go, "Did you guys receive the Holy Spirit when you got saved?" I mean, can you imagine that? I can. Can you imagine? He comes in, he said he's meeting with you for a while and he says, "Did you fellas get the Holy Spirit when you got saved or what?" That's what's going on right here. He's met with this small group of believers, he thought, and they sort of believers. And he says, "Did you guys receive the Holy Spirit?" Because they're not sort of looking like it. And he says, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" And they said, "No, we've not ever heard there is a Holy Spirit." There's some churches in our country that probably would have that. And he said, "Into what then were you baptized?" They said, "Into John's baptism." And Paul's, all the dominoes dropped then for Paul. And Paul said, "John baptized with a baptism of repentance." So many people do that. They sort of have this repentance, "I want to be right with God," but they sort of leave it there. It's an interesting little process. He says, "Baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in the one who is coming after, that is Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus." Were they saved at that point? The answer is yes, just helping you out. Yes, they were. They put their faith in Jesus and they were saved. There they are. They were baptized in Jesus' name. "And when Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them and they began speaking in tongues and prophesying. And there were 12 blokes." You know, those 12 guys built one of the great churches of the first century. Ephesus became one of the most amazing churches, a large number of churches gathering in houses and meeting together, and out of these 12 blokes who had just heard the baptism of John. And so he says, "Well, you guys are sort of a third of the way there. Let's move you along. Let's get you baptized in Jesus' name and get you filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, prophesying. Let's get the gifts of the Holy Spirit running in your life. Let's get this party started." That's probably not what I just thought of that. But anyway, just let's get the, I thought the ball rolling. Then I thought party started was probably better. So anyway, let's get this thing on the road. And he does. Now, can I just say to you, that's pretty much how it ought to be in our lives. That we come to know Jesus, we give our lives to God, we receive the Holy Spirit, and we're released in His gifts. That's how it ought to be. So I encourage you to seek that with all your heart. Now, I want to come to you and talk. Now, I really want to talk more about this praying in the Spirit business and gift of tongues and all of that. So 1 Corinthians 14, verses 1 to 4. Now, some people think about gift of tongues and they sort of go, well, hang on, I got a tongue. I think my mum and dad gave that to me. I got a tongue. Who can roll their tongue? Yeah, look at them. Half of them are doing it. There you go. You can tell that's the, sort of the extrovert-introvert test, isn't it? You know, the extroverts all go, and the introverts go, yeah, I can, but I'm not going to do it. So you got that from your mum and dad. That's a genetic thing, all right? So that's a tongue. You learned to speak English or some other language naturally. You basically, from your parents as well, you learned to speak that language. So what the gift of tongues is not your physical tongue, and it's not the language that you learned as a kid from your parents, all right? That's not what it's talking about. 1 Corinthians 14, pursue love and earnestly desire. Now, let this context. The Corinthian church were crazy gift of the Spirit people, all right? Nutso. If you'd come into there, if we were in the Corinthian church now, you walked in, they'd all be waving their hands around, blah, 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 in tongues, and everybody at the same time, and six people would be yelling out prophetic words, and they'd be saying, I've got this and I've got that, and they'd be laying hands on everything that moved, and it was just this nutso, Holy Spirit-filled mob. Now, there was nothing wrong with the filling of the Holy Spirit and all the gifts that they had. That was fantastic. The problem with their church was they didn't love people and they had no order about what they were doing. It was all about, can I exercise my gift? So the moment I hear someone saying, can I exercise my gift, I know they haven't read the scripture that Rod read to us today, and I know they haven't learnt yet that the gifts of the Holy Spirit are actually about blessing other people, not about them doing what they want to do. So they didn't have any order, and they didn't have any love. So they were a bit of a disaster area. So Paul had to sort them all out, and he sorts them out on this in the area of tongues and prophecy, which this passage is primarily about. But as we read it, we get all of these unfolding revelations about what tongues actually does. And I need you to differentiate between someone speaking in a tongue that's interpreted, and that becomes a prophecy. That's a public gift. When the scripture says, do all speak in tongues, do all prophesy, that's what it's talking about, that public expression of those gifts. That's different to the prayer language that is released in the heart of the believer when they are filled with the Holy Spirit. So you need to get those ones right. And then we come to this. Pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. For one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men but to God. I'm going to stop as we go and highlight these things. Speaks to God. I mean, that's phenomenal. Of course, if I come down here to this little group here and I start going, blah, 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 and I speak in some other language, then that's not helping them very much, is it? They're all sitting there looking like stunned mullets. Pretty normal. These are good people. They're sitting there, they're looking at it going, what the heck are you doing? So he's saying, when you pray in tongues, you're not talking to these guys, you're talking to God. When I'm worshiping, every time I'm worshiping, I'm praying in the Spirit. I'm praying in tongues every time. I try not to do that so loud that I disturb anybody around me. I don't want to, you know, freak anybody out. But I'm praying in the Spirit all the time. It's a habit. It's a reflex action. And what I find with this one is it says that you speak. Let me get it. You speak mysteries to God. Speaks not to men but to God, for no one understands him, but he utters mysteries in the Spirit. Mysteries in the Spirit. And one of the things that happens for me, and I think happens for many people, is as I pray in the Spirit, things get revealed about me and about other people. And the most helpful thing I find is I'm praying for someone or some situation or whatever, and I'll just simply lift that thing to God, get my mind focused on it, and then I'll pray in the Spirit. Because I know that when I pray in the Spirit, I'm speaking the mysteries of God. Now, I don't know whether my spirit is speaking about the same thing as I'm thinking about. I got no clue. But what I know is that many times as I do that, the Holy Spirit will reveal something to me. It's kind of like one of those mysteries that have been spoken get revealed into my heart, and that conduit of heaven is open. And I just want to encourage you, make sure, seek out in your own life that openness, that conduit from heaven is there, and that you're engaging with that I know some of you that'll be really weird. For most here it won't, but for some it will. But I want to encourage you. This is engaging in the spirit realm in a very real way, and the spirit realm opening to you. Don't get locked up in a Western rationality that doesn't allow for the spirit. Don't get locked away in that. Open your heart like the rest of the world outside the Western church. Open your heart to what the rest of the world understands. You talk to an indigenous person. You talk to a person raised in Buddhism. You talk to a person raised in any part of the third world, and you will talk to a person who understands the spiritual realm, usually with a whole lot of fear attached to it. That's why they have their spirit houses and all that. It's all to placate the demons, because they understand what's going on. It's only us in the Western world that has tried to negate all of that. And the truth is, we have become victims to it without even understanding it. That's what's going on in our country right now. We are completely bound up by demonic forces without having any idea of what's happening. I'll get to that in a minute, I hope. Okay. I better move a bit quicker through this one. On the other hand, the one who prophesies speaks to the people for their upbuilding and encouragement and consolation. So if you're going to your life group and you sit there going, blah, 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 then that's not going to help them very much. But if you pray and ask God to give you a word for somebody else, maybe you pray quietly in the spirit, get a word of encouragement for someone and share that with them, then lo and behold, they are encouraged. That's a good thing. As we were praying and seeking God a little bit before, I was just wandering around praying in the spirit, and I don't know whether I decided or God led me to, but I just started over here and started moving around, and as it locked onto individuals, God dropped something, and so I spoke it out. And the rest of the time, I'm just praying in the spirit, saying, God, what do you want to do? You can do that. It doesn't take the guru to do it. I could do that when I was 17 years old. I've got no better or worse at it in all the years since. I'm probably worse at it now than I was then, because we were pretty crazy back there and I would go nutso with it. So I probably should get back to doing more of that. Where am I? Okay, here. Verse 3, encourage them. And look at this, verse 4. The one who speaks in a tongue builds himself up. If you pray in a tongue, speaking mysteries to God, it builds you up in the spirit. Oh, I think it's good. The one who prophesies builds the church. That's great. Now, I want you, how many does he want to speak in tongues? I want you all. This is the one that we get hung up on. I find more often than not in Western churches, this is the one we get hung up on. We got all of our blockages and barriers, all of our rationality getting in the way, all of our, oh, I don't know if it's me or if it's God. Let me just tell you something. If you're meeting with God and saying, God, fill me with your spirit, how on earth is the devil getting involved? Let me put it this way. If we've got Christmas Day happening and I'm going to give gifts, I'll say my grandchildren now because they're sort of the right size for this, you know, between God and us. You know, they're sort of the right comparison. So if I'm going to give a gift to my grandchild, who's going to stop me from doing that? Without a fight. I mean, there might be someone who's big and strong and all that and able to come in and take that gift away and give them something bad. But honestly, I'm going to be dead and bleeding on the floor before that happens. Do you understand what I'm saying? Are you with me on this? How can I come to God? Jesus said that the Heavenly Father will give good gifts to these children. And he says, particularly, the Holy Spirit. So the Father is going to give that gift of the Spirit to his kids. I'm asking you, who's going to stop him? The devil's not strong enough to stop him. So forget all that nonsense and open your heart and let God do what he wants to do. There's so much nonsense. My brother, so caught up in his own pride. I hope he listens to this. So caught up, my mum will listen to it, so she'll tell him. So caught up in his own pride that when I prayed for him to receive the Holy Spirit, he couldn't receive a thing. And as I'm praying for him to receive the Holy Spirit, after a while of praying, he says to me, I said, what's going on? And he says to me, I think it's you. And I thought, I'm going to punch you in the head right now. But I'm not proud, unlike him. And so I just grabbed the guy standing next to me. My brother is probably the most humble guy you'll ever meet. I grabbed the guy standing next to me. I said, you better pray for him. And he prays for him. And my brother's released in the spirit. He's off in tongues, the whole works. And I said, you Fruit Loop. No, I didn't say that. I did think it though. And we've got so many blockages that we allow to get in the way of the work of the Spirit. Don't. Just open your heart. Let God do, amen? Let God do what he wants to do. I want you all to speak in tongues. And even more, you prophesy. Everybody should be seeking prophetic inspiration and revelation for their friends and for everybody. It ought to be part of what we do. That on a, in our small group, when we're praying for each other, that we allow the Holy Spirit to drop something into our heart. And we say to them, don't get weird. Don't say that. Well, that's probably a good thing to say. But don't get weird yourself and go, thus saith the Lord, my brother, unto thee. This day, saith the Lord, that ye should progress forth and undertake the great undertaking of the Lord thy God. I mean, what kind of nonsense is that? I've literally heard people do that. It's just so ridiculous. Go back 300 years, you might be close, but not now. All you got to do is say, I was praying for you and I really felt God say this. The Bible says, submit the prophecy. Doesn't say put it over top of them. Submit it to them and let God speak. Don't get all proud about it. Goodness gracious, ridiculous. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets so that the church may be built up, etc. That's what we're going for. Now come down to verse 13. Therefore, one who speaks in a tongue should pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays. There it is again, my spirit praise to God. People don't realize that we are a spirit who inhabits a body. You're primarily a spirit. The reason that you will live forever is not because you're going to exercise and diet your way to eternity. I was looking at that show, Morgan Freeman. Have you noticed that coming up? Trying to find God. Morgan Freeman's going to find God. That's fantastic. And one of the things that he does is looks at this thing, whether your brain, I heard this the other day on another report, whether your brain can be downloaded into like a computer hub and then put into a synthetic body so that you would live forever. Can I tell you today, don't do that. Don't cryogenically freeze your brain, hoping that sometime you can do it if you want to. But all I'm saying is at one point, Jesus is going to come back and he doesn't care how frozen or dead or dry or bones or dust. He don't give a rip, because when he comes back, everybody's going to rise and face him. You won't be in no synthetic body at that point. Let me tell you right now, you'll be in a resurrected body just like he was in a resurrected body after they killed him. Phenomenal. That's the world we live in, but we like to live in this natural weirdo thing. And what we should be living in is this spirit realm, where God's in control and we open our heart to his spirit. No way I'm getting through this message today. Anyway, not to worry. My spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. What am I to do? I'll do neither. What am I to do? I'll pray with understanding, but I'll keep the tongues thing out of it. What am I to do? What does he say? I will pray with my spirit, but I will pray with my mind also. I'm not going to go on any further. It's all just obvious, isn't it? Just open your heart to the Holy Spirit, get rid of the blockages, and let him do what he wants to do. Just get on with it. If you've got blockages and you know it, then don't accept the blockages. Punch them through. Get somebody else to help you punch them through. Persist. Press in. Seek God. I know people who've been released in the Spirit in every weird and wonderful circumstance you would like to name. Some of them because they were like me, they responded in a church, someone prayed for them, they got released in the Spirit. One of my mates was sitting on the garbage cans in the backyard, got released in the Holy Spirit. I think, Luke, you were prayed for by Andrew when you were, 6 years old or something, and you had no idea what was happening, questioned it for years and years, but now I don't know whether he's still got it. You're okay now? You've got it all sorted? Yeah. So, I mean, all kinds of weird and wonderful stuff. Heather got prayed for, and she's not as holy as me, so it took ages for her to, one word here was a sort of, toddler stuff. I'm straight into the adult, right there, over the top, go for your life, Don't you like that? Is that? I'm on my own for that one. There's None of my brothers are amening me. No one is standing with me in the midst. You cowards. You're silly. I'm glad you understand that anyway. Do you get my drift? Can we just lose all of that junk and just start seeking God and let God do what he wants to do? The second part, that was praying in the Spirit. I got like 1 minute to do the second part. Can I do it? Yeah, I can do it. Okay, second part, pray in the Spirit's the first one. Don't let it go. Don't leave that undone. Pray in the Spirit. Second part is pray in the Spirit's power. Ephesians 4 verse 12 says, "We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." Everything that's going on around us right now is actually a spiritual battle. Sickness, unrepentance, everything that's going on, lack of provision, it's all a spiritual battle, the whole thing. That's the real thing that's going on right now, all around us, all the time. Just because we live in a Western world that denies it doesn't mean it's not true. It's just a truth that we have not learned to understand. But that's the truth of what's happening. Let me now just read you a quick verse, Matthew 12, verse 22 to 29. I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'm just going to read verse 29. Jesus has just delivered a man with a demon spirit that was making him, was it mute and blind, I think is both. Blind and mute. So a blind, mute guy, Jesus prays for him, delivers him of a demon, and he now speaks and sees. Phenomenal miracle. And then they're all arguing, saying, well, he does it because he's of the devil. And Jesus comes back at them and he says, well, if I'm of the devil, then the devil's going to wreck his own house. That's ridiculous. And he says, your own sons and daughters, pointing to his followers and so on, they're casting out devils. Are they all doing it because of the devil? This is nonsense. And then he says this in verse 29. The thing I want us to get here is that we need to plunder hell. That's what we need to do. We need to plunder hell. We need to go into the home of Satan and plunder his house and bring out those who need to find God. That's what we need to do. And we need to understand that that's what's happening when we go to our workplaces and wherever we go, that's what we're engaged with. And in verse 29, Jesus says this, how can someone enter a strong man's house? Now understand, demon-possessed guy, blind and mute, in the devil's house, bound up by the devil. And Jesus is saying, I am now going to go into the devil's house, I'm going to bind him up, and I'm going to bring that guy out into the kingdom of God. That's what Jesus is saying, and he's encouraging us to do exactly the same. How can someone enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man? Then indeed he may plunder his house. Plunder the house. The word that I have in my heart is that we've got to plunder the house of the enemy. Right now, you're praying for people. Many of you, I know, are praying for people who don't yet know the Lord, who haven't yet discovered his grace in their hearts. And I want to say to you, one of the things God's saying to me really strongly is that we need to bind the strong men that are binding them up. We need to get active, much more active than we are, about spiritual warfare, praying in the power of the Spirit, just discerning in our own hearts what's going on, binding it up, because God has given us that authority in Jesus' name to do what Jesus was doing, to go into the strong person's house. We got strongholds in our society. Materialism, rationalism, drunkenness, addiction, sexual immorality. We got all of these strongholds. You know, we're supposedly free to do whatever we want. Yeah, rip. That's great, fantastic. You're bound up with all kinds of junk you got no idea about, stopping you from engaging with the purpose of God. And as believers and followers of Jesus, what have we got to do? I reckon, first of all, we ought to be empowered, praying in the Spirit, filled with the Holy Ghost, ready to go. Secondly, we need to pray in the power of the Spirit to bind up and break those strongholds over people's lives so that they can be free to receive God. Is that all right? I believe that's a big challenge for us. This week in your small groups, I want you to talk about how released are you in the Holy Spirit. Make sure you get free, get released. And I want you to talk together about praying to break the power of the strongholds over people's lives. Most people have applied this to themselves and to fellow believers. How selfish is that? Jesus applies it to a guy who's not saved and is bound up by the devil. That's where Jesus applies it. And he says, we need to apply this spiritual power out there, not just in here. Amen? Don't be a freako. Don't go out there, you know, walk into a restaurant. I'm buying up that. Don't be doing that. It's crazy. Just quietly. I did this in a shopping center last week. I was walking, as God was talking about it, I went for a walk around where all the people are, shopping centers. So as I'm walking along, I'm looking at people. I'm not going up to them, laying hands. I'm looking at people, I'm going, what's going on with that person's life, Lord? And he's dropping something in, so I just pray, Lord, just break that power over. I didn't do that because that's weird when you're walking along. But in my heart, break that power of that over that person's life. Why? Because I'm just exercising it. I'm going, I want to exercise this. I just want to exercise the revelation of God and the breaking of the strongholds over people's lives. Actually, down at Shell Harbour. And just praying through. We need to be doing this stuff. We really do. Let's stop. Let's pray. Let's do it right now. Why don't we stand together as we finish today? Thank you, Lord Jesus. So we're talking about praying in the Spirit, and we're talking about praying in the power of the Spirit. We're making sure that we're engaged in the life of the Spirit, not just a natural Christian life. So wherever you're at, whatever level you're at, if you need to get released in the Spirit, if you need to give your life to God, if you're like those first guys, you've heard that there is a Jesus, but you've got no much clue, then it's time for you to open your heart and release your heart to God. Say, God, come into my life. Sort me out, help me get on the right path. That's where you need to go. Maybe you haven't been released in the Spirit, just been sort of hanging back on that one, a bit bound up. Well, just open your heart and let God do what He wants to do. Maybe you are released in the Spirit, but you're not doing very much with it. It's time to ante up. Kick yourself in the bum and say, come on, get on with it. Pray in the Spirit so you build yourself up, and then begin to break down the strongholds that are in the lives around you. You become the prayer warrior for your workplace, for your family, for the community that you're in. You become the prayer warrior. Don't wait for someone else with a gift of, you know, intercession or whatever. Don't wait for them. You become the prayer warrior who breaks down the strongholds in the realm around you. Take your authority and get on with it. Amen? Father, I just pray right now that you would touch our hearts, that you would encourage us, that we wouldn't be feeling condemned or any of that sort of rubbish from the devil, but right now that you'd open our hearts, that we receive from you, that we would just be filled with your Holy Spirit, that we would be engaged with the spiritual realm, and not in any weird and wacky way, but in a very, very normal way, engaging the supernatural and just trusting you to do your work. We pray for our community right now, which is so bound up with all kinds of stuff and unable to see the spirit realm and what's happening. And we pray, Father God, that you would open the eyes of the blind. We pray, Father God, that you would open the ears of the deaf, those who spiritually can't see and can't hear. And we pray, Father God, that you would speak into their hearts and you would draw them to yourself. And we bind up the forces of darkness that are over our community. And we stand against them in Jesus' name, that you would break through into the hearts and lives of the people around us and create an open heaven where people can hear from you and receive you, and that our community would turn away from all the gods that we've created, and that we'd open our hearts and be filled with your Spirit and become a community that loves God with all its heart. That's our desire, and we know it's yours. So we pray, Lord, let it be done in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. We're going to pray a simple prayer together today for those who don't yet know the Lord. And you, I want you to join with me and just pray this real simple thing. Well, even today, you might be thinking of someone in your life who doesn't know him. I don't know whether this is good theology or not, but just while we're praying, I want you to think of them and use it as like a spiritual warfare. I'm praying this person would get the revelation of the love of God. You can do that if you like. We'll figure out the heresy later. But if you want to come to know God, then we're just going to pray this real simple prayer. Let's pray together. Father God, I thank you for your love for me. I thank you that Jesus died for me. I ask you to forgive me for my sin. And I give my life to you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm not going to get these guys to come and do a song because I've gone over time and I want us to finish close to time most of the time. Pretty keen on that. So we're just going to finish up. But I want to encourage you, if you're not released in the Spirit, come and see me. We'll pray with each other. You know, if you don't yet know God and you want to know God, come and have a talk with me or talk with a person who brought you or a friend here today and get on with it. Don't muck about. Just get on with it and start the process of honoring God with your life. Amen.